purpose of this program is to let our radio audience know something about the Youth Builder Citizenship Program in our schools. We want our listeners to know what young people like yourselves can do as junior citizens to make democracy work. We at Youth Builders know that talking about democracy is good, but not enough. Democracy can be as good or bad as people are willing to make it, and that democracy does work when people are willing to work and work together. I would like you, boys and girls, to tell our radio audience what the Youth Builders in your school have been doing so that we will know how you are learning to make democracy work. Now, before we begin talking about it, suppose we introduce ourselves. Would you begin, please?
My name is Julia Hirsch. I come from PS93 Manhattan, and I'm 10 and a half years old.
My name is John Briganti. I come from James Otis Junior High School 172, and I'm 11 years old.
My name is Joseph Nostro. My age is 11. I come from PS 172 Manhattan.
Roger Calvi, age 12, 172 Manhattan, James Otis.
Ted Pasca, I'm 16, from Benjamin Franklin High School.
Michael Kaufman, I'm 10 and a half, and I come from PS 93 Manhattan.
Martin Schiff, 10, PS 93 Manhattan.
Jessica Fowlsman, 10 and a half, PS 93 Manhattan.
Judith Rising at 10 and a half, PS 93 Manhattan.
Naomi Fling, 10 and a half, PS 93 Manhattan.
All right, thank you. And now we know who you are and where you come from. Suppose we ask the group coming from James Otis Junior High and Benjamin Franklin what they have been doing recently to make democracy work in their school through the Youth Builder program. Will you tell us something about it?
Just before we started here, you said that we had just finished a job. Actually, we haven't, as Bob commented here. We had heard a great deal of criticism about our neighborhood in East Harlem, about the sanitary conditions, and we undertook to clean it up. Of course, a great deal of it was exaggerated, but we felt that it couldn't all have been an exaggeration. Bob, want to tell them just what we did?
We distributed to people of Manhattan 25,000 posters. And we also had a big parade, and we asked the sanitation commissioner Powell if he would have daily pickups.
What else?
Oh, we also distributed large posters and all sorts of things.
Yeah, what do you mean by we distributed? Who is the we here?
The youth builders of 172.
In other words, so far you're telling us that you became concerned about the problem of sanitation in your neighborhood. Who became involved in this whole job of cleaning up the neighborhood?
Well, it started in our school a few years ago. See, people made many remarks about Manhattan. So we thought that we would try to stop some of it. So we started a contest a couple of weeks ago, I think, between $6 from 110th Street to 115th. And they would clean up for a few weeks, and the cleanest block, all the families in the block would get prizes such as toasters, irons, all sorts of things. And the winning block, I think, was 115th.
In other words, you carried on an experiment to see if the neighborhood could be cleaned up. Would you tell us something about the contest that we just heard about?
Oh, the winning block was 114th Street.
How do the people in the neighborhood feel about your interest in this project? Do you want to tell us something about it?
Well, some of them cooperated and some of them didn't. So when we saw that some of them didn't, we had a big parade in which the sanitation gave us a 50-piece band, and we had a big parade, and I think that helped us, too.
What made it necessary for you to run this parade? Wasn't it enough simply to send a note to the people in the neighborhood and tell them to
They didn't do much when we did that. Some of them just read and they chewed away, so we figured we had to do something more stronger.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a big parade. I think that helped us a lot.
In other words, you felt you needed a whole campaign to get
yeah.
this thing going. Can you tell us something more about that campaign?
Well, the Department of Sanitation lent us a 50-piece band, and we had posters with wooden sticks on it, and we went along, and we were in the parade, the Otis Youth Builders at the head of the parade, and we marched around the streets, and we saw all these people looking at us, and we thought that we'd be doing something good, but some of them, they didn't bother about it. But we got some of their cooperation.
Do you feel that you accomplished something in undertaking this job?
Yes, I think we did. We about one-third of the people are doing better.
Can you give us some general picture of what the community looked like, that is, the six blocks you worked on, before and after you started on this job? Any one of you.
Before we started on it, it was a real messed up place. But when they heard of the contest, why, they just got cleaned up. And but after the contest, and you look at the 114, the winning block, you see it was clean. But then the other blocks got mad, and they started making the streets dirtier than ever because they didn't win.
Well, do you think the campaign, as far as you're concerned, and as far as the youth builders in your school are concerned, is over?
No, not yet. It hasn't even started yet, as far as we're concerned.
That's
just the beginning.
What is your next step?
Well, the next step probably is to urge the people. We're going to have whole meetings of janitors and also people who own stores and everything, even the sanitation department. It's going to be a meeting of the sanitation department, fire department, police department, health department, and all of the big...
And also the park department.
Park department.
And we intend to have another contest and continue having contests.
We picked those six blocks because we thought that those were the most dirtiest. But they're going to continue it.
Miss Graverson, the director...
Education director of
the educational director of the Department of Sanitation... said that out in the Bronx where these kids were trying to clean up there, she said that we could do something better. Instead of holding contests and giving prize to the winning block, have a golden cup, and every year the cleanest block will get that cup. And the next year, if there's another block cleaner in East Harlem, they would get the cup away from the other block. And Miss Graveson said that it helped a lot.
Yeah.
Well, I think the boys have given you a good idea of just what we did. Also, I'd like to tell you what results we've gotten from other communities, communities all over the United States, such as Pittsburgh. The Chamber of Commerce there wrote us a letter saying that they would like to run the same thing in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is a... It's a rather sooty city, and they think that the amount of success that we've had could be applied to their city, too. And in New York City, other districts in New York, in Brooklyn, in the Bronx, on Manhattan, Staten Island, Queens, other communities have liked the idea and are going to take it up. They're going to have contests just as we have, and I think the youth builders have started something that will really... really roll along and catch on.
Is this an invitation from Pittsburgh to come out and show them?
No.
Or are you asking for the invitation?
Pittsburgh says that she likes the idea of it, and she'd like to try it, too. See,
Who's the she you're talking about?
Oh, Pittsburgh.
Oh. You made a woman out of her? Well, I think it's very encouraging to know that another city... A large city has heard about what you've been doing and is interested enough in following up. I think our radio audience has a pretty clear idea of what youngsters, young boys, in one of the schools in New York, members of Youth Builders, are doing to make their neighborhood a better neighborhood to live in. I'm glad that you made the statement that you've just started and that there's a lot more to do. But the fact that you have made the start and gotten others interested, I think, indicates what we of Youth Builders are trying to do. Now let's turn our attention for a moment to our friends from 93 Manhattan. Now, what are you people planning to do as part of your Youth Builder job?
Go right.
Well, Our unit is, we're trying to make for a better world. But that's our class unit.
Well, that's a big job.
What I know, and we've went on interviews, but I think I'd let somebody who has went on those interviews tell about them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd like to say something. Our unit is helping the UN Crusade for Children because we started off, since we're children, we feel that we can understand the children better and help them. And, well, when we went on interviews, I believe our last interview was Mr. Walter B. Harris, and he's from the United Nations, and he told us how the United Nations works and everything, and we obtained a lot of information from it.
I don't know whether our audience knows what you mean when you speak of interviews.
Well,
would you give them some short and concise idea of what you're talking about?
The youth builders, these people from important organizations come to the youth builders' headquarters, and we go there and we interview them. We ask them certain questions, like, how can we help the children of Europe? And they answer it, and we report back to our class.
In other words, they become a source of information.
Yes.
You don't act as a Thomas Committee or something like that, do you?
No.
No, in other words, you simply want more information. This is a direct way of getting it. Now, you mentioned Mr. Harris. Now, in addition to all the other people you did see, what conclusion did you come to about helping to make this a better world?
Well, we've been trying to make things and send them to Europe, where Mr. Harris, I think, said that was the neediest place we should help.
You're going to help by sending things?
Yes.
On
our interview with Mr. Walter B. Harris, he gave us an address where we could write to in order to get addresses which we could correspond with children overseas.
Develop friendships.
Make scrapbooks of our city or of our class, and they might send us a return scrapbook.
Uh-huh.
And after we've gone on these interviews, we try to ask people to help the UN Crusade for Children and do all we can to help.
Whom did you ask for help?
We asked the CARE organization, but there was a field representative of CARE, and we interviewed her. But she said that CARE couldn't. We couldn't ask for any individual address in CARE. That's a nonprofit organization, and they send to whoever anybody.
Who needs it?
I believe Michael over here made a mistake. We interviewed Mrs. Jeanette Kleiman, a field representative of the Junior Red Cross. And she said that CARE couldn't give us any addresses.
Oh, I see. Now, can you tell me specifically just what you are doing in your schools to further this program that you talked about?
Well, in our school, we have a Good Neighbors Club. It is very new, so, I mean, they haven't done anything very specific yet. But they feel that they want to help.
Who's the they again?
The children in the Good Neighbors Club.
Where do they come from? How does that tie in?
Well, they are taken. Each class sends two representatives, and then those children.
Well, they discuss matters.
Suppose we get a little clearer idea of this Good Neighbor Club. Is that tied in with a better world?
Well, in the Good Neighbors Club, the children discuss how they think they can improve the school. They try to stop racial discrimination because there are a lot of children in our school who sometimes are mimicked by children who just don't think. And they think that just because they're a different race or something, that they're just different and they shouldn't like those people.
In other words, you're trying to make a better world by starting right in your own school. Is that it? With a Good Neighbor Club? Can you give us more information?
Well, I'm a representative of it. And we've been trying to help children who don't know the language learn the English language so that they can get along in our school much better.
Well, that's a wonderful idea. Are there many of you doing that?
Well, those that know other languages are doing the best they can.
How many languages do you know?
Not many. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But we also don't make fun of a crippled child or a disabled child because, well, we want to help them because it's not right. Because wasn't their fault at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, last year in school, one of the Youth Builders Club started on a project to make these little booklets. They, for the foreign children, they wrote a few words and translated them.
And they wrote the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. And our Youth Builders Project is going to try and distribute them.
Well, I think you are doing something quite desirable in your units. And I think the radio audience has some idea of what boys and girls of your age are trying to do to make the world a better place to live in and to make your school and community a better place to work in as well as live in. Now, we have about 30 seconds more. Is there anything else you would like to tell our audience about the work you're doing at Youth Builders?
Yes, I forgot to give
Just a general statement about the program, because we're trying to give the people an opportunity to understand what we're doing.
I forgot to give the credit to the two people who started this. Mr. Beagle, he's the head of the Otis Youth Builders, and he was the one who really started this. So you might as well
give in charge of the group.
Three quarters of the credit to him.
Well, that's very generous of you. Do you think he could have done it alone?
No. We helped, but it was really his idea. He started everything.
I mean, he got you thinking about it.
Yes.
Well, that's the function of a teacher, but he alone could do nothing without your help. As I remember the parade, there were about 2,500 boys in the parade, and the people who distributed the posters helped. And
He also went and spoke to one of the commissioner.
Powell.
Powell.
Uh-huh.
And told him that if he would please make a double pickup on Saturday, and he influenced him to do it.
But would you say that the success of any of these projects depend on the cooperation of the boys and girls in the school as well as the people in the community?
Mm-hmm.
Now, just one final question. Have you been getting that kind of cooperation, or is it a slow, hard job?
Well, right now, it's sort of a slow, hard job at the beginning, because not too many of the children know about this, but we're trying to work it up so that everyone knows and everyone can really help.
Well, thank you very much for telling us about the Youth Builders in your school.
Well, it's an interesting problem. I don't know how many boys and girls would agree with you. The four of you seem to have differences of opinion. Two seem to feel that therapy would be good, and two seem to feel that it wouldn't help. Gloria?
Well, I think we can go deeper into this. It's the Youth Builder headquarters, or Youth Builder club. And it really isn't, we really didn't solve it, because there's so much talk and there's so much more that we can't take up just by now.
But you feel it's worth working on, is that it?
Oh, yes.
You have made a start, and I hope that you have an opportunity to go ahead and do a little bit more. And I think the important thing that has come out of this discussion is the fact that you recognize that you needed help in solving this problem. You need the help of the boys and girls, parents, and others. Thank you very much.
And now a word from our guest, Mrs. Angelina Krupe, a parent of Junior High School 29 in Brooklyn. Having listened to the young people, Mrs. Krupe, do you agree with the causes that they've given for juvenile delinquency?
I certainly do. I agree with several of the points that they made. Am I to mention the points that I think?
You can if you like, or add anything.
Well, I do feel that the children are perfectly right when they say that they need more parents' guidance. In many cases, parents are forced to go to work, and in that case, the children are unsupervised. Well, there isn't very much that could be done except to see that these children have supervised play periods or enroll them in some recreational organization. And in other cases where parents are really out for the almighty dollar, I think they're really doing a grave injustice to the children. And they are right when they say that parents have a great deal to do in making a juvenile delinquent.
Well, they mentioned some other factors. They mentioned bad company as one instance. They mentioned keeping late hours as another. Would you agree with that as some of the basic causes, or do you think there are some more vital reasons?
Yes, I do agree with them. In cases where parents do not know who their children's friends are, I believe that they should become acquainted with their friends, ask them into the home. So without the feeling that these children are being watched, you can more or less judge, do my children keep the right company? And I feel that parents should cooperate with others in the community and build up a plan where from time to time, in each other's home, they can have little socials and that would make the children very happy. And as long as the children are kept busy, they haven't time to become delinquent.
How do you feel about the comment one of the children made about a curfew?
Well, I think that's one of the things that will be very, very hard to do, especially in those homes where parents don't mean too much to children. Now, in the other homes, I don't think you need a curfew because parents lay down the law and children usually abide by it. So for those children who, for whom the curfew is being made, I doubt whether it'll work. Because if they can't listen to their parents, I doubt whether they'll listen to the law. They'll find a way out each time.
I was wondering whether the children gave an accurate impression of the condition in their school or neighborhood. Did you feel they overemphasized the extent of delinquency?
Well, I think it was slightly exaggerated. There was a time when windows were broken a good deal, but I think the condition has improved considerably, and I think that was done through education. We have a very wonderful principal in our school, and I must mention his name, Mr. Margulies, and he is very, very cooperative. And I'm sure that if any parent went up to him with a problem, he would take time out to discuss the problem with them and to try to find a solution to the problem. Now, he has also made the children civic conscious and has told them how the school is their property and that they should look out for it, and if they see other children damaging it, to stop them or call some adult who could help them. And I think that's really helped a great deal.
I wonder what your reaction is to the question of comics and the influence they have on the behavior of children.
Well, I think the children were right when they said that with some children, the comics do make a deep impression, and with others, they just read them because it's reading matter. As far as I'm concerned, I don't think I ever take the comic book up. I never had the time to, and it depends on the nature of the child. Excuse me. If he is highly impressionable, or he may want to experiment. Well, so-and-so got away with it in the comic book. I'll try it, too. But it may have a bad influence. I won't say that it will or it won't. I really am no judge. But in my own home, they do have comic books, and I haven't seen any bad results from them.
Well, that's first-hand experience. In your opinion, Mrs. Krupe, do you feel that children, as young citizens, have any responsibility in helping to prevent this problem?
Of the juvenile delinquency?
That's right.
Yes, I do. I feel they have a grave responsibility. As one of the children did mention, they have the responsibility of seeing that the friends with whom they associate really do not do anything to break the law. Because as soon as the first law is broken, in my opinion, and they get away with it, then they'll try the second and the third. So the children have a big hand in preventing juvenile delinquency. And that, again, is done through education, in the home especially.
They did say something about the effect it would have on a potential delinquent if that boy or girl had an element of responsibility in the life of the school as well as the life of the home. Do you feel that would be helpful?
Yes, I do feel it would be quite helpful, because as long as the child is kept busy, healthily busy, I think he's out of danger.
But do you mean keep him working?
Busy. Give him a little job. Make him feel that he's useful in the world. Let him run an errand for you. Give him the feeling that he is part of the home or part of the school, because some children are really quite capable. And if they are not put to work, they are going to do something, really, that is going to be too healthy either to community or to himself or to the school.
Would it be accurate to say that you seem to feel that children should share in responsibilities both in the home and in the school?
They definitely should. I believe they should.
Now, in your opinion, again, do you believe that parents are living up to their responsibility by far and large in preventing delinquency?
Well, I think that almost every parent feels the responsibility that he or she has. It is their child, and I'm quite sure that every parent does try very, very hard to make his child feel that he is a good person and that he or she is doing his best for the child. And in return, as long as there is a share and share alike in the home, as a rule, I feel that children like to do the right thing.
Now, do you feel that the youth builders, in holding this film forum to which parents were invited, were doing something worthwhile?
Oh, yes, indeed they were. Because many of the problems that came up at the forum were problems which come up in every home. And the mere fact that some of the parents in the audience realize that those problems do come up in every home, they feel that, well, my child is a normal child also. She has the problem, I have the problem, my next door neighbor has the same problem. So there really is nothing wrong with my child.
Would you agree with what Gloria said, that perhaps more such meetings of parents and children would be helpful, not only in solving this problem, perhaps others that might
arise?
Yes,
I certainly do. I really wish that we could have the attendance at other meetings that we had at that one meeting. It would help all around. It would help the parents to know exactly what's going on in the school. The children would have a sense of security because they feel that their parents are quite interested in what's going on in their school. And the relationship between the teachers, the children, and the parents would be a really wonderful one.
Well, thank you very much, Mrs. Kruby.
You're quite welcome.